Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome back, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. It is The Advertising Show. Isn't that nice? Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a big radio music production. Never short of a great show and great guests and features and such. We've got Gene Bliss coming up here in just a few moments, talking about, it's specifically a hospital called Griffin Hospital. It doesn't matter where Griffin Hospital is. It's what they did at Griffin Hospital that you want to find out about. And that's Gene's feature a little bit later on. The new media overload with our feature specialist, Shameen Abbas, activist for excellence. New media overload a little bit later on. And, of course, we have the co-author of Changing the Game. I've got the book here. It's David Ettery, by the way, out of Seattle. Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. And he talks about advertising in this book as well. We'll tell you more about David as well as get him on the here on the show for a few segments here today with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. So how the heck are you doing?
Well, doing great, and it was interesting to talk to David off-air just before we went on the show today, because we found out that Ethan, his co-author, is busy collecting awards, and I think it was honorary degrees and other things, so we're stuck with David, I guess.
The other guy, yeah. Well, hey, this guy's no slouch, okay? I want to defend you, David, there, even though you can't talk right now, But I will tell you that, David has published articles in the Harvard Business Review, several game industry publications, and has spoken at many entertainment industry conferences. So
that he's been on the advertising show now.
That too. So we've got a few things to learn from David, and all about the book, Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. You know,
Ray,
go ahead.
I was going to ask you, you do MySpace. You have a MySpace page, don't you?
We have a Facebook and Twitter. We do Facebook and Twitter, and we Twitter and we Facebook. So that's what we do.
But,
as far as MySpace, not at this particular point, no.
No. Well, you're going to have to jump on that. I know you guys do it for your business.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. How are you enjoying Twitter, and if you could keep that in 130 characters or less, with your response, please?
Exactly. No. Say what now?
I said, how are you doing on Twitter, and if you could keep your response in 130 characters or less?
Good.
Okay.
Actually, no.
Okay,
what's really cool is the Facebook thing is working out great for us. And Twitter, Bruce handles that, and I don't get involved in that part. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, you and I are both fans of My Name is Earl. NBC unceremoniously canceled My Name is Earl earlier this week.
Really?
Of the sitcom's actors. Yeah, one of the sitcom's actors, Ethan Suplee, turned to Twitter to complain. His actions helped spark a Twitter-based campaign to resurrect the series. An earlier geek-led campaign, you may recall, purportedly helped save NBC's Chuck. Not that I'm a fan of Chuck's, but you and I are a fan of My Name is Earl, and I hope they can keep that on. Although I must say, Ray, I don't know what your feeling is. My Name is Earl has, I think, skewed a little bit lately. They come up with these off-the-wall episodes. They had, who was it? The newsman, Geraldo,
yes,
doing a couple of series recently, which was a very odd and an unusual execution for their normal format of their show. And they had a few other occasions to depart from their normal format. But all in all, I think it's one of the better programs on NBC, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a shame that that's gone. Jimmy Kimmel is in a little bit of a hot water, too, if you might have heard, too, as well. Basically demolishing the ABCF fronts. Probably not a good thing to do. Still has a job. Either way, a very, very lucky or very deft comedian. He has apparently blackmail photos of the network execs, I guess. I don't know. Mr. Kimmel, the host of ABC's late night show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, delivered a withering, blistering monologue that took direct aim at ABC, its potential advertisers, and his NBC late night rival Jay Leno. The assembled advertisers received his performance with a mixture of uneasy laughs and the occasional gasp. Oh. So basically, I'm wondering what Jimmy was thinking, why he would do that. Not necessarily a good idea to call the kettle black, so to speak, or whatever.
Unusual.
Unusual, yeah. And maybe not the smartest thing to do. Did get press on it, though. I guess that's a good thing. We talked about the Griffin Hospital piece from Gene Bliss. I want to play it for you now. Listen to this. This is very interesting.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Griffin Hospital, a regional hospital in Connecticut, develops healthcare workers' natural instinct for an open and honest patient relationship. So they decided to make medical records available to patients and their families. Now, worried doctors feared that patients armed with this information would fuel an increase in lawsuits. The total opposite occurred. This decision reduced malpractice claims. Malpractice claims against the hospital dropped by more than 43%, from 32% in 1996, before the policy was enacted, to 18%. Now, patient discharges rose 40% during that period, an increase that usually carries an increase in claims. This decision stopped that cycle. Trusting patients with their own records grew patient belief in Griffin Hospital and ultimately contributed to its growth. Griffin earned an 80% referral rate from customers who participated in this new decision. What gesture can you make to show customers you trust them, that you believe that trust is reciprocated? Are you transparent with your customers?
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
That's some good stuff to think about from Gene Bliss here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Let me tell you a little bit about David Ettery, our guest on today's show, okay? Okay. He is the Worldwide Games Portfolio Manager for Microsoft's Xbox Live Arcade. That's a pretty big title. He also is a research affiliate of the MIT Comparative Media Studies Program. Prior to joining Microsoft, David was the MIT CMS Program's Associate Director for Special Projects. During that time, he co-founded the Convergence Culture Consortium, a research partnership with corporations like MTV Networks and Turner Broadcasting. David has also managed CycleScore, a research project combining video games and exercise. That's a great idea. David received his MBA from the MIT Sloan School of Management, his BA from Brandeis University. He's published articles, as we said before, in the Harvard Business Journal, and several game industry publications, and has spoken at many entertainment industry conferences. Probably is a stand-up comedian on the side. Along with his co-author, Ethan Mollick, wrote the book Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. And this also relates to advertising as well. We're going to talk to David and find out more about that here in just a moment. And as the music plays along up to the break here, Brad, we are out of time.
I was going to mention, while you were reading that bio, he is now the founder and principal of Fuzzbee, which is a consulting firm focused on video game development. So I just wanted to mention that.
Amazing. Back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
And then, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
Welcome back, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show, along with our very special guest out of Seattle this weekend. It's David Edery, co-author of Changing the Game, how video games are transforming the future of business. David, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, David, you're also the co-founder of the Convergence Cultural Consortium. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Convergence Culture Consortium is a research consortium based on a book of that name by Dr. Henry Jenkins at MIT. And we created the consortium primarily because we wanted to start doing a little bit more work with corporations, with people who were at the forefront from a business perspective of the things that we were researching in the media studies program every day. So we brought on board MTV Networks and Turner Broadcasting as our founding members, and we would help them think through really critical problems like, you know, how do you deal with piracy, and should you even think of it as piracy, or should you think of it as a business opportunity? How do you take advantage of, you know, the explosion of, you know, social networks and virtual worlds and that sort of thing? So it was a really interesting opportunity to work in an academic setting with people who were primarily, for obvious reasons, profit motivated. It's not something that normally happens in an academic setting. It was a lot of fun.
So curious, how did you and Ethan come up with the idea to write this book? Aren't there other books out on the market regarding video games, or did you find that yours is different than others?
There are a lot of books on video games, but there were none, at least to our knowledge, addressing this particular topic. There have been books written about using games for just broad educational purposes. There have been books written about the persuasive power of games. There's actually a book called Persuasive Games by Ian Bogost, which is reasonably interesting, and Ian himself is a very smart guy. But there hadn't been any books written for a broad business audience about all the different ways that you could use games to not just, you know, for social purposes, but specifically to improve your business, to make it more profitable, to make it more productive. Nothing like that. So we broke Changing the Game into three sections that we thought would be most relevant to that general audience. The first section was all the ways you could use games to advertise. The second section of the book was the ways you could use games to train your employees more cost effectively. And the third section was sort of the most forward-looking and speculative, and it was about the ways to use games to improve productivity, to capture the wisdom of crowds, to tap into crowdsourcing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned before we went on the air today that you focused your effort pretty much on the advertising portion of the book, and not exclusively, but that was a lot of your effort. So let's talk a little bit about that. First off, are gaming ads, David, more suitable for a particular brand or a particular service, or are companies across the board of a variety of ilk, so to speak, can benefit from advertising in games?
I think all manner of company, regardless of who their demographic target is, can take advantage of advertising in games. And to be clear, when you say advertising in games, it really refers to a fairly broad spectrum of possibilities. You can have product placements in existing commercial games. You can have banner ads around video games. You can have so-called adver games, which are video games created by an advertiser explicitly for the purpose of promoting their brand, and several other things. So I'll give you a few examples. I mean, you've got for people targeting the stereotypical gamer demographic, you know, the young male. You know, there's any number of things that you can do. iPod, for example, Apple recently paid for product placements in a stealth action game called Metal Gear Solid, where as you, the hero of the game, are playing the game, you can listen to music on a virtual iPod, and you can collect songs that are scattered throughout the game. There was also a Playboy product placement in the game where you could distract your enemy by leaving a Playboy magazine in their path. And so here comes a soldier, and he would stumble upon the Playboy magazine and start reading it. And as he's reading it, you would sneak behind him.
Oh,
it's very
great.
Clever. Then at the same time, you've got games that target completely different audiences. I mean, I've seen games that are advert games targeting middle-aged women, promoting the stow-and-go system in minivans. I've seen advert games you know, to sell, for selling M&Ms. I've seen advert games for selling deodorant. I've seen really all kinds of things. And most recently, there was big news when President-elect Obama, not even elect at the time, decided to advertise in the Xbox 360 game Need for Speed. As you drove around the game, you would see billboards with his message of change on them and his picture.
Great.
And I do believe this happened right before he was elected. So I think it was like a month or two before the election. And you know, you have to ask yourself if a major presidential candidate, now president, feels that games are a legitimate target for advertising, then who wouldn't, right? I mean, who couldn't potentially take advantage of games?
Really? Well, the first president to really do anything like that, too, and very successful, by the way, right?
Yes. Well, I think it sent a very important signal to, you know, Obama was trying to do two things, right? He was trying to balance two important initiatives. One is he had to come across as, you know, serious and capable of dealing with the immense challenges facing the country today. And at the same time, you know, Obama was clearly aware of the fact that a big part of his appeal was the fact that young people saw him as someone who understood them, who understood technology, who understood, you know, the momentous technological changes that are taking place in society today, not just social changes and challenges. And I think he sent a very powerful signal by saying, look, I clearly recognize that games are not, you know, something to demonize, but are actually something to take advantage of by putting his brand, so to speak, in an Xbox game. I was very impressed by that person, just personally.
On the advertising shows, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, our special guest is David Ettery, co-author of the book Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. More, lots more to talk about, and we'll come back here and do that in just a minute. On the advertising shows being powered by Shipple.com, an incredibly powerful marketing thing called Tendency. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L, Shipple.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, back in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast.
David Ettery is our special guest here on the Advertising Show. David is co-author of a book, Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. Interesting stuff. Good to have you here, David.
Thank you.
You know, Ray, since 01 when we launched the program, we've covered advertising, gaming. We've covered Second Life back when they launched that. It's something that, you know, we're big believers in, and hoorah to all of those marketers out there that are willing to stick their toe in the water and get involved in any kind of new technology or new alternative media. I wanted to ask you, David, why do you think so many companies today are still shying away from game advertising? And I'm using that in a general term.
Sure. I think there's a few different reasons. I think part of the reason is that, frankly, they're just not familiar with it, right? It's substantially, in some ways, depending on the kind of advertising you're talking about, it's substantially more complicated to advertise in and via a game than it is to simply whip up a commercial and then say, okay, I want it to show up at the following times and the following shows. Especially if you're talking about creating an entire advert game for the promotion of your brand, you know, you're talking about something which, you know, at a bare minimum, is going to take you a few weeks, I mean, a couple months to working with a developer on, and if you're doing something more ambitious like Burger King did with its Xbox games, now you're talking about a year or more of development time. And this is something, you know, advertisers aren't game developers, right? They don't consider themselves game developers. They don't, and there's some trepidation about even trying to become them, so or to work with them in any way. So I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is that there's still a really, really deep misconception among some people that games are really only useful for targeting, again, young males, right? But what more and more people are starting to realize is that games are absolutely today, and for many years now, actually, a universal medium. There are hundreds of millions of people who play so-called casual games for free on the internet, for pay on the internet, on their mobile phones. The number of people who play Bejeweled and Tetris and games of this sort absolutely dwarfs the number of people who play Call of Duty or Halo on the Xbox. And yet most people don't really realize that when they still think games, they think Halo, they think Call of Duty, they think these big budget, violent, very male centric experiences. But more and more that's not happening, and as advertisers kind of realize the extent to which they can reach out to people through games, hold their attention better than they could in any other medium, I think you will start to see a major shift. And you already have, in fact. I mean, there are certainly certain advertisers like prior to the recession, like the automobile manufacturers, that have really, really embraced gaming in a big way. Some of the best advertising and game stories come from the automobile manufacturers.
Wow.
You know, David, staying with the unusual, many of our listeners may not be aware of what a great recruitment vehicle gaming can be. Google and the Army come to mind. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, sure. Well, one of the nice things about using games is, aside from the fact that they're simply a good way of promoting your brand, is that they're actually a really interesting way to learn about the people that are playing your games, and to use a game to sort of filter out the people that are playing them so that only the best ones ultimately reach you. So let me give you an example. With Google did this very clever thing that was, by the way, primarily not video game based, but more physical world game based. And the way it worked was, next to Stanford and next to MIT, they put billboards. And the billboards had nothing on them except for some sort of riddle. There was no mention of Google in any way, shape, or form. And so, of course, the smart kids at Stanford and the smart kids at MIT would solve the riddle and plug it in, you know, the answer into their browsers, and then that would take them to another riddle, and it, you know, so on and so on and so forth. And the riddles were things that were quite difficult. I mean, they were the kinds of things that, unless you were, you know, someone with an engineering background, a mathematics background, it was unlikely that you were going to solve them, right? So these smart students were, you know, following the breadcrumb of riddles that were started by these billboards. And eventually, if they solved all of them, they'd find themselves at the Google Labs recruiting homepage. And it said something to the effect of, you know, Mazel tov, congratulations, we're so glad you found your way here. You're the kind of person we'd like working for Google. Please, you know, fill out a job application.
Oh, wow.
And the thing that I love about that story, aside from the fact that it was such a clever way of recruiting, such a novel way of getting people's attention, was that it wasn't simply a way of getting people's attention. It was a way of saying, of only getting the attention of the people who were exactly the kind of people you wanted, right? If you weren't a clever engineer, if you weren't a clever mathematician, there was no way you were going to solve all these riddles. So Google spared itself the hassle of having to sift through however many hundreds or thousands of resumes.
Right. Yeah, what a great idea. Seth Godin says, the quote here, it says, most people think the world is both static and passive. It is neither. This book helps you understand the change that interactivity is bringing to everything we do. And the book is called Changing the Game. Our special guest, David Ettery, co-author of that book. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Back with another segment with David here in just a moment. Hope you'll stick around.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising.
To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Yes, it is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Ray and Brad just kind of goofing around today, playing games here with David Ettery. Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. David's out of Seattle. David, thanks for being on the show today.
Always my pleasure.
You know, a lot of advertisers these days are attempting to become more efficient in their advertising. Some are actually cutting back in their spending. How recession-proof is advertising via games, David? Or is it?
I think it's extremely recession-proof, and I think part of the reason is precisely because it's dramatically more cost-effective when done correctly as compared to more traditional mechanisms like TV, radio, no offense intended, guys. And magazines. And I think part of the reason for that is that if you create a decent game, even if it's not fairly large in scope, as long as you create it with the intention of being highly replayable, you can spend a few tens of thousands of dollars on a game with the right designer, the right developer, the right idea, and find yourself with something that someone wants to play for 20 hours, 30 hours, 100 hours. I can't count the number of hours that my wife, for example, has played Bejeweled, which is a very popular casual game, which wasn't that complicated to develop back when they first created it. So the replayability is really quite huge. And then also, obviously, the fact that there are certain demographics that are becoming significantly harder to reach, younger demographics in particular, through traditional mechanisms, but they're very, very interested in games. So I think that depending on what you're trying to accomplish, and furthermore, that there are certain things you simply can't accomplish with other advertising mediums. So I'll give you an example. Allstate, recently news about the fact that Allstate, the auto insurance division, was going to start doing pilot tests on games that were designed to do a couple of different things. One was just to get their brand out there, but two was to help them capture information about a segment of their demographic that they had difficulty getting information about, and that was particularly older drivers. Allstate has a problem where as people get older, it's just an inevitable, fact of life. As you get older, your reaction times slow down. Yeah. Now, what Allstate does right now is it simply assumes that if you're older, it needs to charge you more for insurance. But what if they could make it so that instead you play a game that tests your reaction times? And it doesn't, by the way, even have to be a driving game. The game that I saw a picture of was a simple casual game where you had to collect colored fish, but it required a lot of fast clicking with the mouse. Now, what if instead they had you play that game, and if your reaction time was demonstrably better than the average person's in that game, they could offer you a discount on insurance? What if by playing that game repeatedly, your reaction times were improved, and as a result, they could offer you a discount on insurance? That's a absolutely phenomenal kind of advertising that simply isn't possible with any other medium. Hmm. And yet, Allstate is here and now, even as we speak, pilot testing this kind of experience. When you think about that from a cost effectiveness perspective, I mean, I don't even know how you put a number on that. That's a truly, truly remarkable way of thinking about advertising.
You know, you've mentioned several models for advertising in games, AdverGames, placement ads, as well as alternate reality games. Which one of these models holds the future for advertising in games, David?
I think that's a hard question to answer, in part because I think all of them have a place. But the part, the area that I'm most excited about, if that's at all helpful, is certainly AdverGames and AdverWorlds. I think that when an advertiser is willing to commit the kind of resources that are necessary to make a truly great AdverGame with a competent developer, I think the results are really truly remarkable. And I'll refer you very briefly to the Burger King Xbox games that I mentioned earlier in this segment. These are three Xbox games that Burger King put out at the end of 2006, back when the Xbox 360 was still relatively new. And a lot of people don't know this, but at the time, the way it worked is the games were sold for $4, and the only way you could get one was by going into a Burger King to buy it there. And of course, while you're there, you end up buying a meal as well. The games were such an unbelievable draw to the restaurants that Burger King's quarterly profits went up 40% in the quarter in which the games were released.
Wow.
And if that isn't good enough, imagine the fact that all these people then take these games home and play them, and the entire time that they're playing them, they're being bombarded with the Burger King brand, right? They're seeing images of the King. If they're playing the King himself, they're seeing the Burger King name. So not only did they get that 40% boost just from the draw of the games to the stores. But you have to ask yourself how much brand exposure, how much value was created in the subsequent quarters when people were still playing those games. Those games don't disappear. They're still sitting on people's shelves. Some of them are still being played even today. That's the kind of thing, when you talk about something that has the power to boost profits for a company the size of Burger King by 40%, that's the kind of thing that gets me excited.
There are so many more things to talk about here in the book as well. Unfortunately, we are out of time, which means you'll need to go get the book. Be a good thing. Changing the Game, How Video Games Are Transforming the Future of Business. Good reading. And David, congratulations on a great book. Hope you sell a bunch of them.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, guys.
On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice-a-roni.
Well, sincerely, there are so many other things in the book that we didn't get a chance to talk about today. It's pretty cool as it relates to advertising and just basically lifestyle and how they are changing the way we look at the world and how to engage in with people as well. So that's kind of a cool book. David Ettery, Changing the Game. And it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here. In just a couple of moments, I've got, who do we have? Shamin Abbas, New Media Overload. It kind of goes along with today's show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, hey, there's something here, too, and I guess it's a good thing. Food marketers are turning to value with dollar per meal strategy. This is a thing from Walmart to a whole bunch of other places. Said food marketers are pulling a page from fast food menus and touting dollar deals to promote their products. Cash-strapped consumers face escalating food prices. Walmart, Kraft, Unilever, Campbell are using the magical dollar price to tap into the trend of people eating and cooking more at home, basically, is what they're suggesting. For instance, Kraft, to play on the word singles for Kraft Singles, promotes grilled cheeseburgers for a dollar in TV ads and on the web. Unilever, 25 million coupons offering discounts on the purchase of 2 boxes of Lipton onion soup mix to promote Lipton onion burgers for 85 cents per serving. Walmart TV ads promoting more than a dozen items as nutritious breakfast for about a dollar a person as an alternative to fast food. I've seen those. Which can cost up to $5. The spot is another way to bring our mission to life, according to a Walmart spokesperson. Every dollar counts. Ain't that a fact? So, yeah. And pretty soon there won't be a dollar, okay? You have to have a $5 breakfast instead. And I guess that precludes going to Starbucks as well, too.
Hey, you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say McDonald's timing on introducing their coffee products, with the economic downturn. And I got to tell you, not only the timing, but their campaign on introducing those coffee product line, which is something to the effect of $4 for a cup of coffee. Now, that's dumb or something to that effect.
Right,
I thought it was brilliant, and not that I'm going to go to McDonald's for a cup of coffee, but, you know, it's done well, and it's taken off, and I'm sure it's bitten into encroached on the market share for Starbucks, which is, you know, in a bit of a trouble as it is for overexpansion, I suppose.
That's an understatement. My God. Need a storefront, store?
Yeah.
You can probably get one very easily. Shamin Abbas with us now on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence.
PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
New media overload. Enough already. It often seems futile to keep up with all the new information and news that appears online every day. And perhaps it is. No human being with a job and a life could possibly monitor and actually absorb everything online that is of personal and professional interest, whether you read it, listen to it, or watch it. Yet there are tools of the trade that can help you monitor major trends and meet your specific information needs. Between social media sites and aggregation tools, you can much more easily digest the massive amounts of information available. There are one-stop shops like Bloglines, an internet news aggregator that publishes its information using RSS that pushes information from web publishers to Blogline subscribers. Most of the news and information sites you know make RSS feeds available to their readers. And you can use this RSS aggregator to simplify by letting it combine information from hundreds of websites into a single display. Social bookmarking sites are another way to find interesting information that you may not be aware of. Mix is a social news service, and Delicious and Dig are social bookmarking sites. With social news sites, navigate first to what interests you. If a title or description catches the eye, read it and perhaps add its RSS feed to your Bloglines page. Social bookmarking sites are different. You can search via the tags, the source added to the text to improve its searchability. This is a great way to find out what other people have already bookmarked as interesting in a given category. There is also the blog search engine Technorati, which highlights news stories and blog posts that are gaining attention with the most popular stories of the hour right on the homepage. By utilizing these sources, you can greatly reduce the feeling of overwhelm that you cannot possibly know everything that's relevant to you or your client's needs.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Good stuff, as always, from Shamin Abbas. Here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What do you have there?
Well, you know, Ray, we were talking about Twitter earlier last Twitter. Segment. The first segment, I said Twitter, yes, Twitter. Tweets and then Twitter, yes, thank you. I'm looking at the word tweets is what threw me off. Anyway, it may not be the answer that, you know, Twitters are looking for when it comes to a business model, but T-shirt company Threadless, which I thought was a brilliant idea, is hoping Twitter's growing use base and built-in viral marketing capabilities converts to profit. The Chicago-based company is giving users the chance to have top tweets emblazoned on T-shirts. Unlike other customizable services, Threadless is following its crowdsource model by having users nominate and vote for the Twitter message that makes it onto its shirts. Threadless will design the shirts and sell two models per week at $18 each. I frankly, Ray, think it's a great idea, and we should monitor this company to see how they do, and more importantly, to see if any of your tweets make it to the T-shirt and are nominated.
I would hope they were. Or
well, cool. It's an interesting model, and we'll see if it works. And I'm sure if it does, we'll be hearing more about it.
Absolutely. We've got David Meerman Scott coming up next week on the Advertising Show. You might recall the New Rules of Marketing and PR. That's the previous book. This book is called Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. And hopefully those are good stories as well. So that's next week on The Advertising Show. Thanks again to David for joining us this week. By the way, tell a friend about The Advertising Show. We know lots and lots and lots of folks around the world listen to the show and enjoy it, but it always doesn't hurt to ask for that little referral, does it, Brad? So we'll ask you to tune in and come in next week and maybe invite a friend along for the ride, too, at The Advertising Show. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com, and by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Look forward to checking in with you next week here at the same place. TheAdvertisingShow.com is a Big Radio Midgets production.